We now present Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith.
Now, if you have your pencil and paper, I want you to write down this line. Atonement by blood. Atonement by blood. A-T-O-N-E-M-E-N-T. Atonement by blood. Now, that's a subject I want to talk to you about this morning. Now, remember, people are telling today that they do not believe in a bloody gospel. They say we don't like that kind of slaughterhouse religion. Well, that's the kind of religion you have in the Bible. Then you don't like the religion of the Bible because it's a religion of blood. Now, if you'll go back with me, mark this down. Now, Leviticus 17:11. The Leviticus 17:11. Write that down. Now, I won't be just patient with now. Let's see if we can't get this thing fixed up. What do you say? Leviticus 17:11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul. Now, that's a way back there in the Old Testament. Now, wait just a minute. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. Now, that's a scientific statement. When this was written by the pen of inspiration, they may not have known anything about the circulation of blood. They may have, but they probably didn't. Now, that's a scientific statement. Now, the Bible was not intended to teach men science, but the Bible is scientifically correct. I read the other day where some fellow intimated that a modernist is a man who begins to think, and then after he gets to thinking, he maybe settles down to his modernistic position. Now, let me tell you something. The greatest thinkers I've ever known have been Orthodox Bible-believing Christians. The most profound. They've had a depth of thought. And I've heard them stand up, great men like Dr. Howard Kelly, and defy anybody to find one statement in the Bible that isn't scientific. We had a man down here some time ago who spoke to our school. Years ago, I told you about what happened up in New York, about how a man put up $1,000 if anybody would prove there's an error in the Bible. Nobody could prove it. You can't prove it. There are no scientific errors in the Bible. The Bible, properly understood, is a scientific book. Now, it wasn't written to teach men science. But whenever the pen of inspiration touches science, it's always correct. Now, the life of flesh is in the blood. Now, you know, that's a wonderful thing when you think about it. It said, and I have given it to you upon the altar, this blood, to make an atonement for your soul. Now, the most wonderful people in all the world are the Jews. Now, you can say what you please about them. You can criticize them, do what you please, talk about it. But there's nobody in the world like them. They're God's chosen people. They've lived for 2,000 years almost out of home of their own, scattered among all the nations of the world. And they've lived through all these years. Now, what were their leaders back in the old days? Their leaders were butchers. Now, they were other things, of course. But the Jewish priest was a butcher. He spent his time shedding blood. Blood in which there was no virtue per se, but blood that typified the blood which Jesus Christ, our Savior, shed on the cross. And when Jesus came, they said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. See, he was God's Lamb, sent. And all the old dispensation, when the blood there, God passed over, you know, passed over, see. They believed in blood. Abel believed in that. All back there in the Bible, over and over and over and over. Up until one day, God's Lamb came. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ, and laid down his life. And John said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. All right. Atonement is by blood. Now, write it down now. Hebrews 9, 9th chapter, 11th through the 22nd verse. Hebrews 9, 11 through 22nd. Now, write that down. You're going to need this sometime. And you study these verses I've given you. Hebrews 9, 9th chapter, 11th through the 22nd verse. All right. But Christ being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of the heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctified the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause, what cause? Because of his blood. For this cause, what? He is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, as must also of necessity be the death of a testator. For a testament is a force after men are dead, otherwise there's no strength at all while a testator liveth. Thereupon be the first testament dedicated without blood. Back in the Old Testament, that's the blood of bullocks and goats and sheep and all that, see. All right. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the books and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God has enjoined unto you." Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. Now, what's that? Yes, blood's necessary. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now, what's that? The life of flesh is in the blood. That's scientific. What did Jesus do when he gave his blood? He gave his life. He gave his life. That's what he did when he gave his blood. Without the shedding of that blood, there's no remission. Now, you turn over to Colossians 1:14. Now, 1:14, Colossians 1:14. I hope you'll make these references now. You're going to need them sometime. Because you can sit down and read these verses if you will. Colossians 1:14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Even the forgiveness of sins. What's that? We have redemption out through the blood of Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there could be no remission. And yet you've got people in this country in pulpits that laugh about the bloody gospel, and they ridicule a slaughterhouse religion all over our land today, and criticize Bob Jones University for standing here for the eternal verities of the Christian faith. Isn't that strange? Why, when I went to college, nobody would have thought of ridiculing the blood of Christ. We sang there at chapel, "There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains." We sang, "What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." And so on. And everybody back in those days, when we talked about a gospel, you know, you're nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. All right, that's the Bible. That's the Bible position. Ephesians 1:7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. We have redemption in Christ. How? Through his blood. Did you write that down? Ephesians 1:7. Ephesians 1:7. Write that down. Now, look it up later. Ephesians 1:7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. All right, now, don't forget it. Now, Revelation 1:5. Put this down. Revelation 1:5. This is the last book in the Bible now. Notice that. Revelation 1:5. And from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Oh, what titles. What is it? Faithful witness, first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. The prince of all of them. All the kings of the earth. Wait. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Now, if your sins haven't been washed away in the blood of Christ, they're still on you. Without the shedding of his blood, there's no remission. Here he is, highly exalted. Jesus Christ, who's a faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, and him that loved us and washed us in our sins in his own blood. Now take this verse. 1 John, now not the Gospel of John. 1 John 1:7. 1 John, 1st chapter, 7th verse. 1 John, 1st chapter, 7th verse. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Oh, men and women, when I read God's book and think of God's blessed Son coming down from heaven, the life in his the flesh in his blood, and he poured that blood out on the cross. And he did it, listen, we are cleansed with that blood, and his Son cleanses us from all sin. And there's no redemption, no cleansing, no salvation. You've come to bad days in this country. When schools and colleges and universities and pulpits that are supposed to be Bible-believing pulpits treat lightly the blood of Jesus Christ. Now take these verses. Matthew, now 26th chapter, 26th through the 28th verse. Matthew 26th chapter, then the 26th through the 28th verse. Matthew 26, 26th through the 28th verse. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks, gave them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remissions of sins." Every time you take that wine, you show forth the blood. That's what he said. It's a type of his blood. The bread was a broken body. The wine was a blood. Oh, if we just get back to reality. You know, you can have a form of godliness and never think about what it means. Now take this passage here. We'll have to hurry along. We don't have any more time. Revelation 5:9. Now write it down now. Revelation 5:9. Revelation 5:9. Now notice, this is up in heaven now. Remember that. Now they're going on home. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Now up in heaven, what they sing about? Some folks get so nice down here, you know, they don't want to sing about the blood. And up there in heaven, out of all peoples and kindreds and tongues and nations from around the world, somebody says, let's sing something. And they sing about the blood. Thank God for the blood which cleanses from sin. Now, Bob Jones University believes the Bible, what it says about the blood of Christ. Up and down the land, from the time we were a little boy, when we used to go to a country church, we went out there and we'd stand up in those little churches and talk about the blood of Christ and wash it away our sins. We hadn't gone to the bottom of it. We never will fathom the depth of the meaning, but it's clearly taught in the Bible. Now, I wonder if that blood's washed away your sins. If it hasn't, may God help you to trust Him. Have you got it now? Write it down, all these verses. Our Father, bless all who listen in and keep us all faithful to Thee. Help us to bear the cross that Jesus have us bear because He died for us. We pray in His name. Amen.
You have just heard Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith. This program is sponsored by Bob Jones University.